What's up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to the last episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. That's right, EuroLeague fans. This is the last episode of the season, so I had to make it a special one. I had to bring in a very special guest, somebody that means a lot to me. We can go 10 minutes listing his accolades, but he's a two-time EuroLeague Coach of the Year, a two-time EuroLeague champion as the head coach, a five-time EuroLeague champion with Panathinaikos, numerous domestic league championships, you know, all over the world. I've had the honor of working with him for six seasons, if I'm must not mistaken correctly. But without further ado, he is the current Greek national team head coach and the current coach of Fenerbahce, Dimitris Attiotis. Coach Attiotis, thank you for joining me.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, EuroLeague fans. Kyle, the tears are almost coming. You know I'm sensitive. Nobody knows that, but you know me very well.
Yes.
So, thank you for having me. Thank you for making me this honor to be your guest in the last episode of this season. I can make also the introduction for you, but I think it's going to take more than 10 minutes. So, Kyle Hines means a lot for this European basketball. It means a lot for me. I said in one of the post interviews of the EuroLeagues that we have won together that I could trust Kyle Hines with my hand, my heart. I can give him my lung. So whatever it's necessary. So Kyle Hines means a lot for me, his family, and of course his professional and also personal contribution into what we succeed all together in CSK.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Coach. I mean, that means a lot. Obviously, you know, we've had so many conversations over the past 6 years. So this will just be, you know, a continuous and more public conversation of the things that we talked about. But first, I want to get into, you know, like I said, I've known you. We got opportunity to talk and speak, and I've had the privilege to work with you. No matter if you're playing against or you're coaching in a EuroLeague Final Four, or you're coaching, you know, versus the bottom team of the week, your passion, your enthusiasm, your motivation for the game is the same. Where does that come from? Where does that passion come from you?
Well, Kyle, I believe that it comes from what it comes also for you. It's the appreciation of what we're doing. It is the, because I believe if we appreciate what we're doing, then the game will appreciate us back. So it's the commitment and the focusness and, you know, as I said, the appreciation we have towards the game and the preparation of the game. So regardless, as you said, we're playing the final or we play the bottom team of the league, I'll show the respect towards the game. I'll show the respect needed towards the opponent in order to go out there to fight with the knowledge. I'm fulfilled and blessed that I'm working with great people, great athletes as you and many others. I do what my passion is as a profession. At the same time, I do realize the obligations that we have towards the owners, the fans.
I want to know about who were some of your early influences before we talked about when you're talking about Greece and, you know, your passion and how much you love, you know, your country of Greece and just basketball in general. Greece is a great basketball country with a lot of history, but I wonder, who were some of your early coaches and coaching influences that made you develop this love and this passion for basketball?
Well, definitely past Dušan Ivković was one of my mentors. I can say my basketball father. I had the privilege to spend many years with him, his family. I've known him from out of the court, which is most important. Get a lot of lessons as I was growing up, I had the privilege to share a lot of moments with him, and then obviously working with Željko 13 years in Panathinaikos, we established something that you can't find in the world of sports. A coaching staff at duo, let's say, staying in a very competitive league in a high demanding environment as Panathinaikos was and is so many years, so many 13 seasons straight. And I have learned, took my lessons of what kind of a passion Dušan had at the age of 73.
Yeah.
When, you know, it came the I think I can say that now publicly. I mean, it was moments that Dusan says, okay, that's my last year. You know, he got a lot of pressure, a lot of years. Family was not seeing him that often. So he says, my last year. And this, he said, like 10 years before he retired. And when you see Dusan playing defense on the court, trying to help, and passion he had, you work with him. So I can have less, or, you know, I have to have more. As a younger coach, I have to have more.
You talked about relations, and relationships with players are very important. Like I said, obviously our relationship is very important. We still talk and still communicate still to this day, even though, you know, we're no longer, you know, on the same team or working for the same club. But you've had the privilege, or the players have had the privilege, to work with some of the greatest EuroLeague players, or just players in general in basketball. We can go all the way from, you know, Mike Batiste to Yamadidis to Jonas Lanoulis to even currently with Giannis and Kalathis and the Gudaricis and the guys in Cheska with, you know, Teodosic and Nando. You know, is this something that all those great players had in common that you can share?
Allow me to just give a little bit more of an update. I'll add Bodiroga, Dejan Bodiroga,
yes,
Drago,
yes,
Repacha, and Odet Katash, and many other players that now, Johnny Rogers, that now they serve from other positions, basketball, or they're in different business. But this is an experience that you can't buy out there in the supermarket. You know, you're getting the experience, doing mistakes, talking, explaining, and communicating. Saras also was one of those guys that was from the beginning. I was trying to find the whys into this sport to become, after that, a coach. So the common thing was this, what I said, like starting from Dan, for instance, you know, there is nobody, none of the coaches will come in a team and say, hey, you know, Carl, you're a leader. No, the leadership and the commitment and work ethics that you put in the court, you have it inside of you. So I'm allow me to turn this conversation into a personal matter, because I do have a huge respect towards you. And people, they will understand I'm not doing just to do it. So Carl Heinz, guys, when I had the idea with Andrei Vatutin to become a captain of the team, it was not just a gesture because Carl Heinz was already over there and he knew the team. It was because I could sleep tight. I could have my nights secure when Carl Heinz is in the locker room, the figure that the team needs. All these guys, including yourself, Carl, and I'm really very appreciative on the job that nobody sees, the job that you're doing behind cameras, behind closed doors, into the locker room. That's something which is priceless.
Yeah, and I want to kind of make this more like a personal, because when you made me a captain and you and Mr. Rautin, honestly, I wasn't ready for it. So how do you see the foresight, like you said, like you talked about, like Mike Batiste or like Sardis or, you know, all these great players. How do you see the foresight as a coach, as a leader of a group of men, to put players and push players to these positions?
You will remember one of my phrases, I used to say that I want my players to feel accountable, at the same time feeling that environment that they are in, this franchise that they are in, this organization also is their organization. They have to feel that at home. It's not only the coach that wants to, you know, think about the 16 of you or 18 or whatever the number is out there. It's also the players, and especially the veterans as you, that you understand my position. You understand you can pretty much come into my situation, into my shoes to see the environment. You already knew, you know, also it was not kind of easy in that situation, you know, an American player, the in Russian team also, whatever. We already erase all these barriers with Andrei, that he was also open-minded, and we came to that situation that maybe I'm going to retire, maybe you're going to already be in a different position, but I hope that we're going to see in Europe teams that have no limitations, that, you know, or restrictions that pretty much are for weak people. Like, you're a good player, you went out of your country, you lived so many years in Europe, you had a brilliant career. So it doesn't matter if you're going to play in Italy, Russia, Greece, Spain, Turkey, you're going to be Carl Heinz because you are who you are. You know, this is my job. I need to have players that they're going to be on my right side and on my left side when we're going to go out there to the world. And I felt that you were one of those. I'm happy that I was not wrong, and I will never be wrong, because my guts and my feelings, they said that. Yes, when we talked, it was not that pleasant to you. You are not the vocal man. You're not the guy that outspeaks all the time. But, you know, when sometimes you go over there with your presence, your body, your muscles over there, and not only the muscles from outside, but the muscles you have in your heart, then everybody will kind of be quiet and listen to Kyle Hines. So that's something that you find out there. I mean, Bodiroga was never the captain. He was Alvertis, that he was. He grew up also as a great captain afterwards. And after the confrontations he have had with Jelko at a certain point, actually in the first year, but then he realized what means captain. Captain is just not to say 1, 2, 3, and you call winner. It's so many other obligations. It's so many other things that sometimes it's not easy for the player to understand, that you have to go out there and say to the player, hey, the coach was right. I told you so many times, let's say to the public, guys, I was the one, probably the only coach that kicked Kyle Hines out of practice because he knocked the ball out. And, you know, to me, to say to Kyle to go to the locker room, he explained me after that. We were actually playing for Fener, if you remember, and I had the poster of Vesely dunking the ball. And Kyle says, coach, I have enough, man, watching this poster. I'm going to play yesterday with them. And he kicked the ball because he did something. Doesn't matter. So I said, when Kyle is leading by example, he leads an example also when it's a bad moment. It's not only when it's good moments. And then, of course, the history says we went in Istanbul and we won that game. The motivation we had, the anger, and the concentration we had in that game, it was huge.
Yeah, I think for you, like, to me, like, that's one of your biggest strengths. One of your biggest strengths is to understand that, not only with me, but just as players, and just, like I said, and it shows for itself the success that, that you've had already in your career. You know, it's your first year here in Istanbul, Turkey. You know, after many years being in Russia, after many years previously before that being in Panathinaikos, but what has been the ovation of being in Fenerbahce?
It was not an easy decision, actually. As you said, I was in Moscow, and I had a plus year, one more year, let's say, active before the situation started, the war started, and everything. So I sat down with Andrei, because as we know, we created after that a human relation. He brought me over there, he took his risks on the first year, one plus one. We won so many things together, and that kept the coach and the coaching staff, actually, the whole coaching staff we have had, which was a great bonding as well with the coaches and all the personnel. We talked about the future, and pretty much Andrei told me that, you know, I can't guarantee you EuroLeague. I can't guarantee you that, because we don't know how you could know right now that we're talking, nobody knows. So I said that he came that offer, and it was clear and loud, and I want to take this challenge. And to me, you know, I put always high goals. It goes with my also expectations and my goals. And I know it's, and I'm going to say that loud, and I said that in many clinics to many young coaches, when you sign somewhere, you got to be ready to be fired the next day. So you know, you put your signature. But at the same time, I'm saying, who of those owners that signs you to bring some kind of success into this club is ready to fire you after 1 or 2 months? That would be very, you know, not criticizing his own self. I mean, he just signed for something for a long period, but then he kicks you out. But you have to be ready to, maybe for a certain reason that it doesn't work or it works. Anyhow, it was a new challenge for me. As you said, Fenerbahce, and I'm proud that I'm leading this new group of people. We have 10 new players. We have a new coaching staff. Unfortunately, we're going through a lot of injuries. Unfortunately, you faced it also earlier in season with Milan. This is another topic we need to analyze in another interview. A lot of injuries. Players are having a lot of loading. But still, having 30 million fans or more, that their passion, that they want to see the team fighting, that they understand that we are not playing alone, that they understand that this is a process, and the process cannot happen through the night. You need to fall. You need to fall probably 7 times, but 8 times stand up and fight it again. as I used to say, fall forward is my motto. We're gonna eventually we're gonna fall in life, either in relations, in professional life. We're gonna have failures. We're not perfect, and as soon as we learn from our failures, as soon as we learn from our mistakes, then we're just moving forward. And this is what is happening now with Fenerbahce. As I said, a new challenge. I'm happy with the progress. I'm happy that we have a lot of pressure, which is going to a positive stress you need to have in this job. And more to come. Another chapter, I hope.
Definitely, and I think if there's any evidence or any indication of what you already done, I think you're going to have even more successful tenure in Fenerbahce, and I'm sure the fans there and the players there are going to be more grateful for it. And I expect you to be there, as for many, many, many years, and then lift many, many titles.
Well, I thank you so much for that, for those wishes. Just to know that I mention you many times in my practices. I bring you as an example to other young players, how you dealt with certain situations throughout the year, difficulties, losses, difficult losses in Final Fours, huge expectations, and then thing happened. We got a loss. Remember your Final Four when Nando coming off the injury, you were not at your best. You know, that Final Four in Belgrade, I think it was a turning point for us, a key moment also.
Absolutely.
And his decisions, you and Nando coming from the injury we had, Leo Westerman got injured, and Voronchic on the first minute got injured. So things were not going our way, but still we had Will Clyburn having his first Final Four. I told him, now you go watch the film, that you realize that you were in the Final Four. You know, like,
yeah.
The way you played the first Final Four was like crazy, yes. And he became game on the next one. So, that's a process. That's all a process, so...
Yeah. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Like you said, fall forward and everything in the process. Like you said, I mean, absolutely right. Like I still live a lot of your models, a lot of your saying, today. Like I said, me and you could talk for 5, 10, 12 days. We could talk for once a month then. But if you were a player, and like I said, I've seen you, you have a nice touch, you have a nice shot. But if you were a player, what skill would you want?
I'm small, so I would. Small people also playing basketball in a good level.
Yeah.
If I will take that, the intelligence of the point guard, which I used to play in the minor leagues and in the lower leagues, the fact that I developed my shooting abilities at University Zagreb, where I used to be, and I'll take that combination that I can have the middle range, long range, and also good passing abilities. Always, though, with a great base of playing defense and compete. I need to go out there and compete. Compete repeatedly. Practices. I compete with myself. I compete with the potential that I have out there. And this is something that I used to say to my players, and I said to myself.
Absolutely. I think that'll be a great, well-rounded player right there. As a coach, do you have like one pregame staple that is like a non-negotiable thing that you need to do before every game?
Yes, the non-negotiable thing is that I'm going to call my wife and my daughter, whatever they are, just to have the last 16 minutes or 17 minutes before I go in. I got to have this last call. Even if they are in the gym or they are outside, I got to make that phone call.
Definitely. That's special. Please tell them I said hello, man. They're watching.
I will.
Hello to them. Favorite book. What is your favorite book?
Wow. Now you're touching a point which is very, very important. I like reading books. And and now we have the audio also as well. And it helps me a lot, this application, that whenever I'm driving or I'm flying, I can listen to somebody else to read. Usually I read three different books at the same time.
Yes.
I might have.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a psychological book, maybe the autobiography, and then maybe a history or whatever. I don't know if I have a favorite book though, but I'll tell you one lately from this sequence of Simon Sinek, that he was writing about. It, one thing says that leaders eat last.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, it's an amazing the way he puts the things and how much we can see the let's say the whatever we're doing in our business or a CEO in a bank or a CEO or a lawyer that runs a law firm or you know anybody can find himself into that book. Combined with a book of find the why, because in life we need to find why you play basketball. You know why I'm coaching. Why is he doing this business? If you find the why, then we can find the what. You know the what is after that. The what ways you're going to find to implement the things that you want to is first you have to find the why. Why are you doing this? What is your passion, as you say? Why are you doing? So to me, I found my wife in earlier years. I wanted to teach. I wanted to be able to see people that they're growing, that they're, you know, and I stand with you over here and I'm saying proudly that many players, not you, because I found you there and I was blessed that I found you, that Ettore signed you in CSKA, but many players that we have signed, they grew up as players and also their career,
absolutely,
their contracts,
absolutely,
their image,
absolutely,
their you know affiliation. And at the end, I'm proud saying that 24 of you became for first time EuroLeague champions. Nando De Colo, Milos Teodosic, you know, and many, Will Clyburn, Othello Hunter, and many others, Alec Peters, you know, many others, they became for first time in their career, Danny Hackett, they became a first time EuroLeague champions, and that's something that you know it's an award that nobody gives you, but you have it over here. So
yeah,
how they growing as a players and as a individuals.
Oh, thank you so much, Coach. And as one of your students, I personally want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for you know for all the years and all the knowledge. Not only as a basketball player, but as a person. That you have taught me and that you continue to teach me. I wish you. And your club and your family much success, you know, as you come to these crucial parts of the season. And thank you again for joining me and being on the quarter with Kyle Hines.
Kyle, the words are very poor probably. My English is not my native language, but a lot of appreciation to you, to your family. I know that, and it's huge also. Wives are doing great job behind the scenes. And it's their support. There's you know that in these tough nights and when a coach is getting crazy and he doesn't give you the time to go to celebrate the God you know the celebration you had prepared. You know what I mean?
That's for the documentary afterwards.
Yes. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you so much for your friendship, for your contribution for this interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, EuroLeague fans, for tuning in this whole entire season. A quarter of Kyle Hines. Like I said before, this is our last episode of the season, but I appreciate all you fans so much. Tune in and check out for more episodes, and I look forward to speaking to you guys very, very soon. Take care.